to our first podcast. We are known as the Multimedia Men. Yeah. I'm here with Gotti Elkhan and Adam Conway. My name is Brian Kluger. We'll be talking to you about movies, TV shows, comic books, video games, music, theater, and everything fun that we enjoy. We hope you enjoy, too. I'd like to introduce the person across the table from me, Gotti Elkhan. Say
what's
hi.
Up? Hi. Howdy. And shalom.
Shalom, indeed. And I'm a person to my immediate left, the handsome fellow, Adam Conway. Say hi.
Hey.
A man of few words, people. A man of few words. So we're going to go around and give each other a little origin, a little background story about us. My name is Brian. I went to school at the University of Kansas, Rock Chalk Jayhawk.
Oh, vomit.
Oh, come on. And then I was into producing and casting television and film. And then I opened up my own comic book store called Boomstick Comics. And then I started writing movie reviews and other things. It's all pretty terrible, but some people seem to enjoy it. And my top three favorite films of all time are the 1933 version of King Kong.
Oh, wow. Poster in the background.
Absolutely.
Not mistaken.
Army of Darkness, which I also have a poster signed by the entire cast. And 2001 Space Odyssey by Kubrick. My top three favorite films. Now, on to the man with the sunshades on inside, Gotti.
Howdy, howdy. I guess since we're starting with college, I'm a North Texas kid. University of North Texas.
Caw, caw! Isn't that a frog?
No, it's a bird, dude. We were the Eagles.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of TC.
We had Epi. We didn't know what the hell it was either, so don't worry. We were Sun Belt. Now Conference USA, we've moved on up. But I started Pearl Snap Discount a few years ago with some college buddies.
Yay!
It was music, movies, entertainment in Dallas. Anything we could get into that we wanted to get into. We wanted to get into film festivals, so that's what we first got into. And then I met all you lovely people and a bunch of PR people. And I do reviews, interviews, and mainly jerk off on to the internet.
Don't we all?
I think so.
I mean, it's at least 2 hours a day.
Jerk off on or
on the internet or in the internet?
Both at the same time, if possible.
Do you have certain times for this?
Anytime.
Okay.
Anytime's a good time. I think we all know that.
Okay, good.
And so my three favorite films are a little bit newer, except for Army of Darkness, maybe, since I'm not old school like 1933. But the movie, because I'm an immigrant. Let's start there. Immigrant Gotti story.
Where are you
born
from?
In Israel.
Were you really?
Yeah. Came over as a wee little child. Hey. South African parents, yet came from Israel.
Hey.
The true like Jewish tale of Bible goes where the hell he wants to.
Is that you?
That's us.
Oh, my God. You're totally referred to as Bible now.
Bible Jew, that's me. So, yeah, as an immigrant, films was most important to life. I grew up with Pacino and De Niro, but the first film that kind of caught my attention was obviously Goonies.
Awesome.
Mr. Richard Donner's epic tale of children coming together to save the town and keep them all in that wonderful place.
I love that movie.
So Goonies is childhood fave. Then when I got into high school, I took a very fun class, and we learned that Shawshank Redemption was the greatest film ever made.
And you agree with that?
And I agree with this. Frank Darabont to God himself, Morgan Freeman, speaks the truth, as we all know, even though he's playing an Irishman. Joke there, insert.
It's funny that it's your favorite movie, because I think Adam's email is Andy Dufresne. What's your other one?
And the third one, I went with a little bit more modern because I thought it was a game changer. The Matrix.
I thought
it changed the whole scope of what we could do. And like films like Inception and Children of Men, which are in my top 10, are in there because of a film like Matrix. So I give 2001 Space Odyssey the first little slap in the ass to every filmmaker. That was the first guy that did what The Matrix did 25 years later.
So the next two Matrix movies and not solely
Let's not talk about what they happened after Or what they may have done with other Alan Moore material.
They didn't sully it for you.
Yeah, it didn't. It was okay, but it wasn't on the same level.
All right, so.
Andy Dufresne himself?
Yeah, Adam Conway.
Yeah, I'm Adam Conway, as you just said.
Arrogance.
I went to SMU. I was actually originally supposed to be a doctor. I was there for pre-med, and I switched.
He could literally cut one of us open right now and save us.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
I played
that
on TV, you know, one time. But I switched to film and television because that's what I was passionate about, and I got a degree and tried film production out, and now I'm just doing events for an independent art house theater called The Angelica.
Yay!
Just The Angelica! One of the best chains in the world.
They are pretty awesome.
My top three films, I'm going to change it up since he already said Shawshank.
Did I steal some?
Well, Shawshank, you know, so I'm going to say Casablanca.
Boom!
Classic.
That's classic. That's quality.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, Jack.
And just to kind of change it up, I'm going to do Airplane.
Boom! Comedy.
That is one of the funniest movies ever made.
Yeah.
I might say that Blazing Saddles is the funniest movie, but Airplane's in the top five.
Airplane was in the air.
Every
that
time.
Took ball.
Airplane. And
every time it's on, I'll watch it.
And
so.
I think Airplane 2 is just as funny as the first one.
Yeah.
Airplane 2
I like
up.
Airplane 2. A lot of people don't like
up.
It, but, you know, Sonny Bono. It's funny.
That is right. That
it's
is right.
Strange.
So that's pretty sweet, man. I like the Airplane. I'm
you know
to
it's
think.
Car insurance.
I guess we all had sort of a comedy, but not like Airplane.
Yeah.
I guess Army of Darkness is kind of comedy.
We all did have a weird comedy.
Yeah.
Goonies has got its half laugh out moments.
All right. Well, on to our next thing. We're going to do the best films we've seen so far this year. It's been about 7 months so far into the year 2013. So, Gotti, what are some of the
They're
ones?
All gonna be the same.
I think we're going to all have similar ones. And a lot of indies. That's the cool thing about, you know, Angelica being a part of this process. You guys are one of the main indie art house theaters. Even though you do show the big time
every
movies.
Now and then,
every now, you know, whenever Adam sleeps or whatever.
So far, what the number one movie that sticks out in your head that stuck with you all year?
Well, we were talking about it at brunch, late brunch, according to Adam.
Adam says
brunch.
When is brunch, my
Between
friend?
Between 11 and 2.
11 and 2. We cannot have brunch in Dallas, supposedly, which is where this podcast is taking place, before 11, according to Adam.
This would have been done with donuts earlier, but oh well.
You should have gotten the Dallas Guidebook. It's in there.
It's in the fine print.
Oh well. Well, how we were discussing our favorite film that we have stuck with us this year so far. What is it?
Mud.
Mud?
Mud sticks out.
Way, way back also.
I think Way, Way Back is the number one for me so far this year.
It's going to be because it was the July 4th, I think that helped the whole holiday. Like, you always remember it as a quality July 4th film.
So
there's such different movies. So
yeah,
it's hard to say, but they're both on. Like,
so who
both star with kids?
Who stars in Way Way Back?
Well, the Way Way Back is a kind of a big group of comedians. Even though a lot of the comedians are playing darker roles, like Steve Carell, Maya Rudolph plays kind of like an angry character, but she has her moments of hilariousness. But it's written by the guys who wrote The Descendants. Jim
won an Oscar.
Nat Faxon won the Oscar.
Yeah.
This was the film that got them to Descendants. They put this on the back burner and then come back and make it now. And they get the great Sam Rockwell to play essentially Bill Murray from Meatheads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he knocks it out the ballpark, if not maybe even, like, he, you know what? If you want to see a comedian get a nomination for an Oscar, how about him?
I would love that. Because
that was the most moving role I've seen so far.
I also think Allison Janney steals every single
She talks for 10 minutes
amazing.
In the first movie completely.
Yeah.
It's like a monologue, and it's rapid fire, and she's
a lot of the ladies, Toni Collette wasn't half bad as the mom.
Yeah, she was really good.
Anna, Sophia, Loren, Roby, the doctor, whatever her last name may be.
Anna
it's
Sophia.
Quality.
Beautiful.
Rock.
Beautiful.
R-O-B-B.
Short. Yeah.
It's short. She's not short anymore, though.
I really enjoyed that movie. It just brought. I feel like it was like timeless. Movie could take place any time, really.
Yeah,
and
it had a water park. Aren't water parks fun?
They shot it at a water park, right?
Yeah, with it like
a real one.
Those were real kids, and there were certain sequences that they had blocked off. But the people in the background are real.
So do you think that most people, we don't see movies like that all the time, and why?
Because it doesn't get as much publicity, it doesn't get into the bigger theaters. I mean, you have your, as Adam can probably attest to, the Angelica's on a nice level, but it's still below the capacity of like a Cinemark and AMC and the money they can throw at crap films mainly, but big stream main budget films.
Because like Dallas is also like a top five movie market, whereas like, you know, smaller towns might not even get that film because it's not enough, you know, like I said, recognition. So they want, they're in it to make money in the smaller towns. So
do you think that Way, Way Back should be nominated for the big Oscar awards coming up this
season? You know, Beast of the Southern Wild got a very nice compliment as a nomination last year. But it was also a film that no one predicted to win. Even though technically and talent-wise and everything that was done in that movie, it may well have gotten an Oscar, in my opinion.
That was
the
best movie of that year.
Yeah.
The fact it didn't even get in any major critics' responses. It's just, oh, they thought the indie should let in. A movie like The Way, Way Back could come in and seriously contend.
But, you know, the Academy hates comedies, so...
But is this a comedy? Liam James isn't even that funny in this as the lead.
It's a drama with comedic elements, but still, you know...
Yeah, well, I mean, would you consider Little Miss Sunshine or Adventureland a straight comedy, or...?
That's a good comparison, because it's not... There's some extremely serious moments. Like, Little Miss Sunshine, I mean, there's an overdose death. The Way, Way Back doesn't have that dramatic of a twist, but it's got cheating. It's got, you know, a father figure telling a kid that you're essentially worthless.
Yeah,
which is directly from, I think, Jim Rash's life.
Yeah, he said that was verbatim, was told to him as a...
That's a pretty momentous, and that's what the film opens with, not to spoil it or anything, but that's the first moment we're introduced to a character. It's a slap in that character's face.
Yeah.
Which is cool, because you don't see that ballsy nature in filmmaking that much.
See, I hope it gets some love. Most likely it'll be like in the screenwriting category.
Yeah.
That'd be cool if they won it 2 years in a row.
It'd be a big statement. You'd want to see what they do next, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. And so, you know, you mentioned Mud. Why do you like Mud so much? Why is Mud up there?
It's a longer film. It's over 2 hours, which maybe knocks a lot of people's, you know, can you sit through that long of a film? I mean, filmmakers have made 3-hour films and people have survived it. So
Mud stars
Matthew McConaughey, and then some young kids. Ty Sheridan.
He was also in Tree of Life.
Ty Sheridan was the youngest kid in Tree of Life, right?
Right.
Yes.
And then it was directed by Nichols, right?
Jeff Nichols.
Not Mike Nichols, who's also quality.
Yeah,
one
also
day
quality.
Jeff Nichols could get that type of career, because so far he hasn't really made a bad film.
Yeah.
I think he's made some... I mean, this is by far the biggest step in his film career, but he takes that step with confidence that is seen on screen. Like, he's doing stuff in this film he wouldn't have the balls to do in those films, and it works.
And it's the most successful independent film this year also, with
the box office.
23 million or something? 23 million,
yeah.
That's a huge statement to the independent film market, just saying that you can make a film in the middle of Arkansas and make $23 million.
Do you know how much the budget was on that?
It was between 2 and 3, so...
Really?
It was almost...
And how much of that was just they were in the bum hell of,
you
know, I mean, they had to buy boats and shit. I mean, a lot of it takes place on the water, which is a big no-no.
Yeah, there's all practical locations for the most part, so there's like no, like, you know, sets or anything, so...
Yeah, and it's two kids that literally carry the movie. I mean, The Way, Way Back, not to take away from that, but Sam Rockwell, Maya Rudolph, Steve Carell, they all step in.
You have
in
a really
moments.
Big cast.
Exactly. You can jump
kids.
Back away.
You know, this one follows the two kids almost...
Well, the main kid all the way through.
Yeah,
right.
We see him all the way through, and we see him go through so many emotions. He's having fun with his friends.
Because he plays, what, 13 or 14?
I mean,
and
15
he's,
even. Maybe
literally
even a little
holds his
earlier.
Own with seniors in high school.
Well, he's definitely
he finds himself.
An older soul because of the life he lives.
Yeah.
Like, they're part of the poorer side of town, the guys who fish.
Yeah.
And, I mean, his father character, I think, is one of the better characters in the film. One of the best character actor performances we have, because he seems so legit from that place. The other boy's actually from that area.
Yeah.
And he... Humor-wise, he kept the movie going, because anytime you were ever like, oh, this might be a long scene, he'd come in and with some type of curse word or something would carry you back in.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
And McConaughey was great, too. He's been on fire, like, lately with all his roles.
Yeah, he went from Killer Joe to to this one, to Mud, right?
Yeah.
Was it that?
And he had the movie that he's, like, he lost all the weight. He played the...
It's coming out.
Dallas Buyers Club?
Yeah. Okay. It's about, you know, a guy who does experimental drugs in the 80s to help cure his AIDS.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
How much weight did he lose for that?
He lost about 40 to 45 pounds.
And he was already skinny.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he looked like a rake when he was at South By. And,
yeah.
I mean, he was, his hat would, like, fall in on him. Like, that's... It's a bold decision. His career's definitely... Magic Mike kind of got him back in the spotlight. And that wasn't the type of character you expect him to play.
No, I agree. And I think Matthew McConaughey gets a lifetime pass with me because of his role in Dazed and Confused. No matter what chick flick, romantic comedy he makes, he always will be awesome because of that role. But now, I mean, he's proven time and time again that he is actually... He's a brilliant actor.
But there's like all those guys...
What about Surfer Dude?
He does smoke a lot of weed. That might be why he chose that role.
Oh man!
It's essentially him.
Thankfully, his agent or his manager has told him to choose good roles, and he's been doing it.
He played an agent in Tropic Thunder.
Yeah,
he did. Agent. He was pretty funny.
He was
Lincoln Lawyer.
You know? Yeah, Lincoln Lawyer is an underrated movie.
It is
a little choppy with its cinematography, but it was a cool little quick story.
So, what other movies did you like? Did you like Kings of Summer?
I
and
did.
Kind of like an amalgamation of Mud.
And a more modern way of doing it, too. Like, that seemed like... It is a young filmmaker, but that seemed like a young filmmaker made that movie.
King of Summer?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I loved the music.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the best soundtracks of the year. That definitely needs to get some notice. But those kids were just having a goof.
Describe what Kings of Summer is about.
It's essentially, it's a similar disenfranchised young youth who's angry at his father. Who wants
played by Ron Swanson, right?
The father's Ron Swanson.
Yeah, the father's.
And it's pretty, his typical meanness and greatness of that cold character. And this kid wants to break free and he builds a fort with two of his other friends.
And it's like more than a fort. It's like a house.
It is
a
house.
It's like a two-story house.
Because, yeah, it was originally titled Toy's House.
That's right.
That's right. It was titled, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's right.
But it's a group of those, you know, friends living a summer there and the ridiculousness of what happens. And it's adorable and it's fast-paced. And there's a nice little twist. And there's a connection to Mud in that snakes
are
an important theme.
Absolutely.
Which could be a theme. I was waiting for one, like, third movie to have a snake bite in it. But both the snake bites in both these movies are jarring, and they carry the next half of the film so well.
There's a snake bite in Kings of Summer and a snake bite in Mud.
Yeah.
Which brings me to one of my favorite movies of the year. Not snake bite.
Snakes on a plane.
Snakes on a plane too. No. How there was two snake bite movies this summer? There were two movies this summer that featured Backstreet Boys. One was This Is the End.
Yep.
This Is the End is one of my favorite movies of the summer.
It's my favorite comedy.
Or one of the favorite movies of the year.
I didn't laugh any harder in the end.
Yeah, I didn't. I've had that's the most fun I've had at a theater
from the
in
beginning
years.
The moment they meet at the airport
with Seth Rogen and James Franco and all those guys.
Jay Baruchel.
Yeah,
Danny McBride.
Oh,
do you think it was the funniest movie you've seen in the last few years?
Because it's them just fucking around? Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think a film's been this loose. I think the comedies... Let's bring up Grown Ups 2.
Okay.
A film that would not be on any of our best of the year films. Because it's such an old tableau-type joke from Sandler. Whereas this seems like fresh. They're just having fun. And even though it's an older story for the guys, Evan and them had this story for, what, 6-7 years? I mean, it's been around the whole Jane
and
Seth.
It was a short first, you know.
Yeah.
Jane, Seth vs. the Apocalypse.
So, it's not like it's a new idea, but this was a fresh film.
Yeah.
We all laughed at new jokes. I mean, just the masturbation and cum jokes alone was...
The 5-minute cum joke was...
And the exorcism
amazing.
Of Jonah Hill.
Just Jonah Hill in particular was hilarious. Him with the gun...
That was great.
I about fell on my chair on that one. See Adam do that. That's why we need cameras.
We just title.
They just high-fived.
You made the sickest references, Jay.
You made the sickest
So underrated.
Yeah, I'd say go. That movie is pretty great.
What's the second one though? What's your other film?
The other Backstreet Boy film that featured Backstreet Boys was Girl Most Likely. There is an entire Backstreet Boys number of the same song in that movie. And this movie starred Kristen Wiig and Annette Bening,
Darren Criss,
and Matt Dillon.
Glee.
And the same song was performed in its entirety. But This Is the End actually featured the Backstreet Boys, where this version had a like an off Vegas
and I would
troop performance.
Girl Most Likely in the same category as This Is the End.
You would or wouldn't?
Wouldn't.
No, I would not. I'm just saying that the two had, because we were talking about two snake bite
That's
things,
right.
And then it's just weird things to have
Hopefully
in movies
snakes
that
will bite the Backstreet Boys finally and kill them.
Do you not like Backstreet Boys? You
were
a fan of
them. Was I a little girl in my earlier life? What's going on?
You still are.
Amazing. No, in This Is the End, it was quality.
So yeah, no, I totally agree. And I'm going to bring up something that...
I prefer a segue.
Prefer a segue to what?
No, because he got... Remember Seth...
So
Seth wishes for the segue.
Segue for the segue.
And Jay wishes for the backstory.
Okay.
Segue would have been a hell of a lot better.
Segue was pretty awesome.
So are there any other films?
Yeah, I was going to bring up one that might be a sore subject with you. I really enjoyed Man
of
Steel.
I'll stab you.
I enjoyed Man of Steel. It's one of the better comic book movies and is a...
I
Amazing
literally
film.
Threw up in my mouth just a little bit. I literally did. Chocolate well, milk.
Amazing. Not amazing. It's Amazing Superman. Man of Steel was a quality film through and through. Story, they told the origin story well. They brought it up to finally seeing Clark Kent. The fight scenes were amazing. Special effects and the acting was unreal for a Superman movie. And we haven't had that in decades.
Do you have any comments before I torch this stupid conversation?
I liked it. I don't know if it's one of my best films of the year, but it certainly had its problems. But it was better than Superman Returns.
Oh, come on. Really? That's the evidence? It's a horrible evidence. He had a baby in that film. That's horrible.
That kicked the
piano. The reason why I dislike this film and why it's not one of the better films of the year is simply because Zack Snyder tried to put too much into this film and didn't succeed. The origin story doesn't have enough time. We barely get Kevin Costner. Russell Crowe is way too much. Marlon Brando did not have that amount of scenes. And you know what? Brando brought it. Even though he looked goofier and whiter and more decrepit looking, he was a much better father in that film.
This whole movie was an origin story.
And it was it?
It was, because he didn't get to Metropolis till like the end of the movie.
And yet, I didn't learn enough about him, and I didn't see him as a little boy. I barely got the Lana Lang twist, which they need to show her at least one more time. That's his first love.
Well, I felt the Lois Lane relationship was a little forced along the way. You know, it was kind of convenient for her to pop
What is her character like? She's a journalist who gets to go to these secret military bases? Ah, bullshit! I mean, come on. Like, there's no connection of her character. Lawrence Fishburne is useless in this film, and you get him for that type of role, and he barely is a crack on my
radar.
Yeah,
but they're going to use him later on, too.
Oh, well, then, you know what?
And he
Don't tease
the
day
he
playing
saved...
it until the end. The end was a perfect tease, and you didn't need any of the Daily Planet. You know what? You should have had Lois Lane.
So part of Man of Steel was perfect.
The origin idea was a good idea if you gave it as a full film. The big issue with the film is that they didn't listen to Christopher Nolan, who said he didn't want to have Superman kill in this film. And the fact that, the spoiler alert, he does do that, takes away from a very religiously themed film. Which, if you like that or not, it was apparent. There was Jesus everywhere in this film. And there's nothing wrong with that. The Matrix, which is one of my favorite three films, is the Messiah story almost entirely. Even has to go on a lake. It's there's so much to it.
I don't think
this
get
figure
that
has Jesus
anything.
Killing. As a Jew, I'm sort of offended. So a little bit compassionate.
I'm glad you're offended.
That can't be your excuse for everything, though.
It's the only movie that's done that.
How did you get that in that? I don't see it.
Okay,
I know they
there's a moment with the preacher that happens
that.
In the film where Superman is looking at him and asking, "What do I need to do?" And behind him is a giant, beautiful, it's the only thing in the rest of the scene, giant Jesus figure that is a whatever the the windows that are beautiful. Anyways, that scene is Jesus looking up to God asking him, why? Why should I help these people? They're going to kill me. Why is that's the film? That's the movie. That's David S. Goyer at his best orgasm moment.
That is not.
This is Jesus' story. It's an outsider that comes to save.
Not a chance.
And he has to murder him. Murder the bad guy. Worst way you could do it.
That's
like Jesus killing Pilate. It doesn't work.
He needed to murder. That's a different version of it.
No. No.
Yes.
He's not Agent Smith. He's not.
He wasn't Agent Smith. He didn't want to.
General Zod wasn't a bad guy. He just wanted to save his planet.
General Zod was a horrible bad guy.
Was he?
But the thing was that the Kryptonians were like preordained at birth to what they were going to be in life. And the only thing he knew was to protect Krypton. And
so he's not a negative character. Unlike Khan,
he is a negative
in
character.
Star Trek, where you get a real villain. You get a guy who wants to cause devastation, and he does. And then you have a gay fest for another 45 minutes in that film, and it takes away from the beauty of
Star
Trek.
Define gay fest.
Too much Spock and too much Kirk for
this
film.
It was brotherly love,
saying,
man.
You need that for
friends.
Like the next film. You have Khan. All you need is Khan, and you got him. And you got the best performance of any villain. In this year.
Benedict Cumberbatch as Khan was awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah, I wanted more of Benedict.
Why was he not in the film
But it was more about the Spock and Kirk relationship.
And
finally, I love that.
You know what? It should have been Khan. The title should have been
Khan.
They
didn't kill
Khan.
Khan will come back.
Oh, vomit again on that. Just like Superman murdering.
Okay. We'll stop that for now. Is there any two movies that not in the...
They were good. They were great films.
I like
that we might not agree with.
I like The East.
The East was amazing.
East was underrated.
Yeah,
it was really intelligent.
It was from.
She's a star.
Britt Marling.
Anything Britt Marling says yes to, I'm in for.
I haven't seen her in a bad role, and she's played similar characters. Like
she's great.
The aloof face, but when you meet her, she's not that. That's what's amazing about her.
I love.
She's cool
like
actress.
Genuine. Yeah.
Yeah.
And really intelligent.
Anything else that you'd like to add?
I liked Pacific Rim.
Who didn't like Pacific Rim?
I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed every moment.
Guillermo del Toro made a movie that we've all wanted to see since we were 5 years
old. And he did it really well.
And he did. Yeah, it was amazing.
Ron Perlman?
He's the best. Hannibal Chow might be the best film character since Bruce Campbell in Army of Darkness.
It's the closest to it.
Yeah, it's so good.
Two Leads are terrible.
The two leads fell flat. Yes, absolutely.
Their love story just it doesn't.
Charlie Hunnam, who was in Undeclared.
Yeah, the flashback scenes when the Felicia girl was way better and way better done than when you see her like trying to emote and she just.
But they were surrounded by such
a lot of that, though, they're in the boring section of the
film. Why don't they got her because of her look? But come on, she needs not to actually talk.
But Idris Elba did not. He didn't do it for you? Because he carried all those scenes.
I love Idris Elba. Idris Elba's not who I'm talking about. I'm talking about Charlie Hunnam and Rico.
See, but you get past that with Perlman
and
Charlie Day.
I love Charlie and Ron Perlman, but they keep throwing that stupid love story to the front.
And the other guy. Who's the other?
Gorman.
Yeah.
Wow. I think Gorman was a...
The other
scientist, Gorman, I think he was a cross between Dr. Egon Spengler from Ghostbusters and Dr. Strangelove.
I just kept thinking of him because he's in Frightener.
Perfect. And in the movie, like the scene with the wings and the sword in the air, it was just like ever since you were 5 years old, you wanted to yell, yes!
Yeah, you didn't like the robot?
Del Toro knows how to, cut to the heart of the fanboys.
He definitely does.
He definitely does. All right, so those are our films. We've enjoyed it. If you're listening, you want to comment, let us know what your favorite films are. We're going to move on to Emmy coverage since the Emmy nominations were announced a few days ago. We're going to go through which ones are snubbed, which TV shows, actors, actresses were snubbed, and which ones we think are good. So I'll let y'all start this off.
Adam, you know you want to talk about her. She was the biggest snub by far.
Who?
Yeah, Orphan Black, Tatiana Maslany. Is that how you say her last name?
She should be the only nomination
she should have been,
for it.
So why? Why give
she should have
background?
Been best actress in the drama and even best supporting actress in the drama. She's in a little scene show on the BBC, Orphan Black. And it's because it has sci-fi elements. It's about cloning. And it's, just...
And it's a first-year show.
Yeah.
That's also a big no-no. Which they did have some first year shows like we'll get to House of Cards, I know that's going to be a contentious point, but Orphan, another thing about Orphan Black, not only does she play multiple characters, they're all completely different. They're all levels of, like, there's the main character that's throughout every episode. There's other supporting character elements. There's a twist at the end with another new character. Like, it's the perfect performance for a female actress just to showcase everything she can do. And she looked different in every role. She was mesmerizing. The show was really intelligently done, and it's funny. And her buddy in that film, her brother character, is another flawless character actor that should be nominated for something. If not an Emmy something.
Have you read anything about her talking out how she got snubbed?
Not really.
She's kept quiet.
Yeah, she's kept quiet.
Now, BBC America's been very vocal.
Oh,
they've
yeah.
pushed her Emmy nomination push very strongly, as they should. As BBC America sort of should on all their shows, because they got screwed on all levels. They have a lot of quality shows. Luther, over the years, has been the most intelligent FBI, even though it's British, that type of CSI... Law and Order type show, but done better with a better lead actor. BBC America's also had, you know, the Sherlock Holmes started there, Doctor Who's on there, all those carry, but they're this sci-fi element, mm-hmm. which you can't see Emmys doing justice to because they don't know. Even though Game of Thrones is a fantasy show,
it's
got a hell of a lot of nominations.
Yeah.
An American Horror Story, which is not worthy of the
it's
amount
not,
of nominations it got.
I'm angry that it did.
So how did I like American Horror Story.
Is it a miniseries?
It's because each season's like a different location. He's using a lot of the same actors and actresses, but yeah,
it's a different house.
It's a loophole basically that he was able to fall into. So.
Exactly.
So Orphan Black, you think should have gotten more?
Yeah,
for her especially.
Like
if
when
not for the show, but her. For
when
sure.
you're watching her, you know, act against herself, you don't realize she. You know, it's.
It's not just a split screen where you're like, duh, duh, duh.
Did Orphan Black get
emotional?
Anything?
Nothing.
I'm not seeing anything on here.
No, and I'd only think there was one other BBC America that got noted.
Downton Abbey.
That's not BBC.
It's not BBC, it's PBS.
That's PBS.
They're connected.
They're connected, yeah. So, out of the ones that were listed, because it would be under drama series, right?
Right.
So, Breaking Bad, Downton Abbey, Game of Thrones, Homeland, House of Cards, and Mad Men.
I have two big no's in that category.
All right.
We know House of Cards is not going
to
be...
Well, let's not even jump there. I want to jump to one that was a great show last year that bombed for me this year, Homeland.
Okay. Yeah.
The first season was
amazing.
Incredible. That was one of the best things ever. Claire Danes, especially, one of the best acting performances maybe ever.
And it won a lot of
and
awards.
And it won everything.
Yeah.
This season sucked balls, and they know it, and they damn near ruined the series. They've got to come back with more.
What'd they
do
wrong?
The pacing was changed. The characters go through the same emotional breakdowns they did in the first one, and there's just nothing new.
But isn't that every show for the most part?
Not when you're talking about material that can... when you've got destructive material like terrorism, and you can blow shit up, why don't you go for it? Why don't you do it in the second season?
I loved SNL's parody of the season of Homeland.
It's so true, though.
Who guest starred on that?
Who was the...
on SNL for that skit?
Was it...
Oh, damn.
Was
it
Tim Lick's episode?
I think so. Yeah.
It was whose?
Was Tim Lick playing Damien?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was funny. But I think last year got its love. This year kind of bombed for me. Mm-hmm. You could replace it with an Orphan Black, which was dynamic. Or another set of, like, BBC America? How about Showtime? Other than Dexter, none of their other shows get any love.
Well, I'm trying to think of, for drama, what else was drama?
The one...
Shameless?
Shameless is the best TV show
in America.
Well,
that would be under comedy, wouldn't it?
No. Not that is dark.
Yeah.
Well, it is dark, but it's funny, too.
I don't think that's a... I think it's a drama.
It's a drama. Oh, it's an hour long, you know, almost...
Yeah. All the comedies are half an hour.
Except for when they had Desperate Housewives.
Yeah, you're right.
Lumped in with comedy.
Well, Desperate Housewives was, because it wasn't dark, it was more sexy
right.
than dark. I think Shameless is the most realistic look into, you know, poverty that you can get without being racist. They went with a white family. And yet there's still different elements of, you know, different races and different, like, their neighbors are great. I think that show's so underrated. And you could easily replace House of Cards. I think Netflix got a lot of money. High five. Good job. Prove it again before you get love from the freaking Emmys when Showtime has been making quality freaking shows for damn decades.
Like for House of Cards, for Netflix, if they win anything, I mean, that's a... And you know, how Oscars tend to do political stuff. They might do House of Cards strictly for that, but I really think Breaking Bad or Mad Men might.
I think Breaking Bad's going to win.
Yeah.
There's no way it's not.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't think Game of Thrones, for the platter that it got.
I would like Game of
Thrones. The Red Wedding alone will get every... It'll win the writing award.
Right. Red Wedding wasn't even nominated for the writing award.
What?
Yeah.
Let's talk about that, BS. I thought they got nominated for that. Did I read
it
wrong?
It was a different episode.
I don't think it's in here.
Well, anyway, they got an episode in, even though the Emmys must be retarded. They didn't watch that episode and not give it the best of the season.
Which, Game of Thrones?
No, I love Game of Thrones.
That's the best scene on TV right now.
Which one?
The Red Wedding.
The Red Wedding, okay.
That's the best episode on TV that's happened this year.
It freaked out everybody.
It changed everyone.
It broke the internet.
The Twitter nation blew up because of
the internet for that. Absolutely.
And how do you not... How is that not the best big show? Like, Breaking Bad... Okay, the time twist of the future jump...
Yeah.
Is close, and that's why it could win.
Mm-hmm.
Because that glimpse... Boy, it's attractive. I want to know what the hell happens. I just don't... Like, Game of Thrones, the whole way through, was shocking to me.
Yeah.
It wasn't
so... I'd be happy with either of those winning.
If House of Cards wins, it's bullshit. No offense.
Just because it's a political statement for Netflix, like, they want to acknowledge
their
first show.
It's such a disrespect to these shows that have been here. I mean, Mad Men, Breaking Bad, Downton Abbey.
The direction, the acting... The writing, as well as all these other
shows.
Is it
better than Breaking Bad's direction and writing?
But it's a different story.
I think Vince has done better material.
It's a story in Washington about politics rather than...
How many of those have we gotten?
Yeah, but...
And Aaron Sorkin made the imprint, and he left it. And anyone trying to compete with it has to be better than West Wing. This show's not West Wing.
It's very different than West Wing, but there's a more attractive storyline in Breaking Bad, whereas it's like a good guy teacher who really is
never
a slow
seen a show about
bad
meth.
Guy.
Never huh? seen a show about meth, though. Like, that's...
It's crazy.
That's ballsy.
Yeah, it is.
That's taking The Wire to a... Let's have complete fun, but let's make this world so messed up.
Yeah.
And I think y'all are right. I think Breaking Bad wins it.
But I would be fine with Game of Thrones winning.
Yeah, me too. Or Mad Men. I'm fine with those.
Just because it's...
Yeah,
let's wait till the final season of Mad Men because this season wasn't as good as.
Well, actually, I liked
the introduction
of what's his name,
Bob Benson.
Yeah.
Bob Benson was amazing.
Cool.
And
he's my favorite actor. That guy.
Mm. What who is he?
I like
who's
that.
Bob Benson.
He was in Lone Star for Scott Colleen's awesome show on Fox that was canceled after 2 episodes.
Robbery, by the way.
Yeah. And he's been doing a lot of, you know, like, he shows up in several shows and just does great.
He's a name to keep on your radar.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think that's a good choice. And that's, I mean...
And why can't I think of his name right now?
I'll look it up while y'all talk.
Oh, and the character's name?
No, actual real person's name.
Yeah.
The character's name is Bob Benson.
Well, I mean... Downton Abbey, do we, big man?
No.
It's big man. What about...
Can we replace that? What the hell is that doing there?
Downton Abbey, it's won awards past.
Yeah. First 2 seasons were amazing. This one, I don't know about that. And I think, I still look at Game of Thrones and think, man, that's a big boy not to win it. Like, I could see just momentum-wise, if your Emmys are looking at people tuning in.
James Walk. Is Bob Benson.
Let's add him to the list of must keep your eye on.
Okay. James Walk.
Well, how about, can we jump to comedies?
Yeah.
Because I've got a lot of
comedy
issues
series. There's
with
30
the freaking
Rock.
Comedies.
Outstanding comedy series for Emmys this year are 30 Rock, Big Bang Theory, Girls, Louie, Modern Family, and Veep. And the only ones I think that should be on there are Louie and Veep.
Big Bang Theory is genius. It's played out a little bit, and it's the same feeling I have with Modern Family. You can leave them off because you've nominated them so many damn times. 30 Rock is not... I don't know how the hell it made it in. That last season was unmemorable if there was a final season ever.
It got boring.
How Alec Baldwin
got
nominated is a travesty.
But the Big Bang Theory is the only one that has a laugh track on this list, right?
True.
Mm-hmm.
Though Zooey Deschanel's laughing could be considered fake.
I'm saying Louie... It's probably the smartest and funniest show on this list.
Veep's pretty smart.
I think
Veep is a close second or right up there. But Louie, man, Louie's just on
is
a different
Louie
level.
Not just Louie though? Like Veep is everyone. I mean, everyone on that
they
show.
They gave it to Girls last year, so we'll see what happens.
Girls shouldn't be on this list. The second, this season wasn't as good. It was
they
darker.
Definitely wasn't as good as the first season.
I mean, it's still a great show, but it's not the best.
I think Beat Pink can sneak in and steal it, but I think they might just give it to Modern Family again.
Just because it's Modern Family. It's
It's mainstream. Same TV.
Is it, though? It's a TV show. Like, it's bold.
I
would love 30 Rock to...
Those are the two most dynamic couple. That's the most dynamic couple in Modern Family. Everything they do is so great.
I mean, I like the show Modern Family a lot, but I just feel like there's Louis and Veep are on another level than the rest of this.
I agree.
Funny to say
I agree. But it won't win. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I agree with you.
It might. You never know.
It would if it won, it's deserving of it. But I think everyone thinks Modern.
Those last three episodes
win.
Of Louis when he's trying to get David Letterman's job is like one of the best things I've ever seen on television. So
I agree.
Lynch as his coach.
All right, I'm gonna
David Lynch is underrated.
Yes,
yeah. I'm gonna go to the outstanding supporter actor in a drama. That is a crazy list. It's Aaron Paul from Breaking Bad. Bobby Cannavale from Boardwalk Empire.
Excellent.
Peter Dinklage from Game of Thrones. It's going to be between those three.
Cannavale and Dinklage, hands down.
Hell, you know, Mandy's the best reason why Homeland's still in my book of shows to watch.
Mandy Patinkin, I mean, he's
flawless.
I know he's not going to
Mandy Patinkin, everybody remembers him from what movie?
Well, I mean, he
Princess
he's
Bride,
Indigo
right?
Montoya.
Yeah, absolutely.
No
but, like,
he killed
he's
all
not
of
as
fathers.
Good as Peter Dinklage. He's not as good as Aaron Paul. And he's not as good as Bobby Cannavale on Boardwalk Empire.
Bobby won't win it because no one watched Boardwalk.
What?
But
he was so great in it.
He's my pick. I love Peter Dinklage, but Bobby is fucking dynamic.
Peter Dinklage
didn't get much to do this season.
He owned that whole show.
It's a
he owned everybody's character in that show. Like, nobody could touch
but
him.
But how do you not say Aaron Paul's not a winner?
Exactly. It's kind of like
he's won it all.
And, like, I want to give Jonathan Banks from Breaking Bad, which is...
But another thing is, like, Aaron Paul actually didn't... You know, his character was pulled back some, you know, for the most part.
I'm a little concerned with Banks being nominated. I like Banks, but is he...
Banks plays the older guy henchman... What's his
Mike?
Name? Mike.
He's awesome.
He only has certain
so
moments
good in
though.
That show, but it's not Aaron Paul. Good.
There are better
it's
supporting
not,
actors
yeah.
out there that you could have
I agree.
Found.
That's a hard
like
category.
The orphan black brother, by the way.
The orphan black brother.
Could have slid into that position.
My money is on Bobby Cannavale to get, even though I think that...
Though Peter won last year?
He did.
He did win last year.
I mean, that's a big back-to-back. I could see him doing that. Especially if Game of Thrones just sweeps it.
And he was good in this season.
But like Adam said, it's such a big cast. Are any of them that great? Because you only see them in like half the episodes.
They get 10 minutes each, 8 minutes each.
No, those 10 minutes are some of the best damn moments on TV. I don't know. I agree with you. I'm going to say Bobby deserves it and should win it and will.
Yeah, Bobby was so good. So good on that.
He's the best reason to see Boardwalk Empire this season by far.
This past season?
Yeah.
Ever
since Michael Pitt's character got sadly taken out of the show, so memorably, Bobby's the best thing that's happened since Michael Pitt.
And he was
and Michael
so
Shannon's
good.
Role was great. Michael Pitt was the show.
Also like
I was
Jack Houston's great in it too.
Oh.
As the you know,
is he in enough scenes?
Wounded sniper. Yeah,
he's fucking. Boardwalk Empire. Not
so it
no
seems
one saw
like our pick is Bobby Cannavale. We hope you win. Is there anybody else on this list you wish to discuss?
No.
All right. So that's our Emmy coverage.
Can we go to like? No, let's go to. Or too much time.
Oh no. Do you deserve something
Should
else?
Should we do the leads and?
Oh, that's why I was asking. Do you want to do the?
I thought you submitted for that category.
Oh, no. Did you want to go through the leads?
Yeah, let's dissect the Emmys. This is big.
Okay. Lead actress, lead actor. Which one was?
Let's go actress. We haven't talked about the ladies other than Tatiana.
All right, drama or comedy?
Let's go comedy and then drama because comedy's got some old faces and some faces that need
to
talk to them.
Laura Dern for
for what? I don't even know what show she's in. What the hell?
I can't even watch that show.
You don't like it? That show was amazing.
I haven't seen it.
Mike White.
I like Mike White.
So
I
badass.
Into it.
And she was amazing. Lena Dunham for Girls, no. Not for me. Edie Falco
not this season.
For
I would love Amy Poehler to win, but she's not going to. I don't.
Edie Falco gives the best performance.
It's going to be between Laura Dern and
Julie
Dreyfus
is going to win
as vice president for V.
There's no way she's not going to win. But I love Amy Poehler.
Well, that's simple. Julia Louis deserves.
I wish she would get one because she hasn't gotten one.
Amy Poehler?
Yeah.
She does deserve one. She's been around a while.
But you know who's missing is Melissa McCarthy, who won it last year.
Right? Oh, for so, her TV for, show.
It, which is not a good show, but she's the best part.
She's the best part of it, yeah. I can't really think of any other comedy actor. I mean, the big, what's her face from Girl didn't get nominated, thank God, Zoe. Zoe Deschanel.
Oh, okay.
That was good. Thank God they got her off the list.
Well,
Edie Falco is freaking awesome in that show. Yes.
Yeah.
That's another Showtime show that gets no real damn love.
Yeah.
And not Bobby. Bobby's not in that, is he? No. I thought Bobby was.
Cannavale?
Yeah. No. If he was, awesome.
He should be in everything.
He should be.
He should play the shark from Jaws in the remake.
I would love it. Bobby Cannavale. I could see him taking it.
No, I think it's been Laura Dern and
how do you not get Julia Louis-Dreyfus that, though? She's flawless.
Have you seen Laura Dern in... What's the name of the show?
Enlightenment.
Yeah.
See, you don't even know the name of the show.
I forgot
what about Lisa Kudrow from her show, Web Therapy? Why the hell did she get no damn love, then? I never even heard of Enlightenment, man.
What?
Skip Enlightenment.
It's
Let's
so good. It's so good.
Gay name.
It's...
I like the word. It's so... Like
unfortunately, it was canceled.
Ugh. Oh, then that's shocking.
My pick's Laura Dern and Julia Louis-Dreyfus. I'm good with both of them. And so what about outstanding lead actor in a comedy?
Alec Baldwin does not need this anymore.
Is he a lead actor?
Yes.
That's crazy.
And he needs to be off of it. He's a sporting and he's not that great.
Don Cheadle from House of Lies, amazing.
Should win, but you know who's going to win.
Jason Bateman?
No, Louis C.K.
I'm fine with Louis C.K. winning, but Don Cheadle...
I love Matt LeBlanc in Episodes. Episodes is a highly unrated show that no one's seen on Showtime.
On Showtime.
And it's hilarious.
But he's dark.
My problem, I love Louis C.K., but Louis C.K. for acting, as opposed to Don Cheadle acting
Louis
in House of Lies?
They're not going to give Louis C.K. for acting.
Don Cheadle
for directing and writing.
If they give it to
show,
Bateman,
so
something's
good.
Wrong, because Bateman, that's not his best of the rest
I think Jim Parsons is going to win again, even though I would prefer, like I said, Matt LeBlanc to win. Didn't Don Cheadle win this last year?
Yeah. Don won last year, which was deserved, because last year was a little bit better than this year, especially for his character.
Well,
that's why I don't think he'll win this year.
They're talking about Don Cheadle and then also Kerry Washington because it's the first time that two black actors...
Kerry should win. Kerry's great. She's the only reason I've seen
that
show.
I don't watch Scandal, but I've heard good things.
Look, I've seen like most of the episodes. I haven't seen all of them, but I saw the last one. It was, whoa.
Still, I would prefer... You know, as much as I love Connie Britton, I would have preferred the actress...
Do we think about Jim Parsons again? Like, haven't they given him three or
not Jim Parsons.
I think so.
Or Matt LeBlanc.
I mean, he's the heavy favorite. According to all the shows.
He always is.
It should be between Jason Bateman and Don Cheadle. I like to put Louis C.K. in there, but acting-wise, not...
My underdog is going to be definitely Matt LeBlanc. I think he might pull it out.
I would love to see Matt LeBlanc get it, just because it is a Showtime show.
Yeah.
And he is playing someone that's very different than Joey.
But do you think Cheadle will win this?
Yes.
I don't think he'll win again.
I think he will. He's such a sexy character not to give him the Oscar. And you just brought up the racism thing, and I think the Emmys will... go into that, even though they shouldn't. They should go on.
What do you
merit.
Mean the racism thing?
Well, the big talk is this year, because you have so many African-American nominations for key roles, that they'll give them the Emmy. And it's BS, because Kerry deserves it no matter what color she is. Don didn't have as good a season as last, but I do think he'll get it. And they'll have a nice little moment.
Okay.
Because we've seen that moment before, and it's big ratings. And there's something wrong with that moment. There's nothing wrong with giving that respect, but... I don't know if Don's better than the rest of these guys this year. Last year he was. Kerry Washington is. We can talk about her and her section if we want.
Wait, what was she nominated for?
I wanted to
outstanding
jump
lead
to
actress.
Supporting
actors?
We'll jump back there. Let's go to supporting actor.
In the comic, because those guys are all great. Like we have Adam Driver from Girls. He's the best part of the show.
He is the best part of the show.
Then of course you have your requisite Modern Family nomination.
There's three Modern Family.
Let's
talk about that, because are those the correct three?
Well, the thing is, Eric Stone.
Eric Stone's still the funniest guy on the show.
So he should have been nominated over, like, I would say even Ed O'Neill.
No, Ed had the baby, and that's the best part of his...
My favorite character
is
still Dumpty, hands down from Modern Family, and he should definitely get some love.
That would be my pick for just new shoot.
But we also have Tony Hale, which is great. And Bill Hader is last season on SNL.
And Bill Hader's awesome, but
Bill
Hader's
been the best thing for that Saturday.
But I would not
he's created three distinctive characters.
He has, and he's also...
No one does that anymore. I mean, Bill Hader, and he's about to have that movie come out with his wife's film, which is going to be hilarious.
The To-Do List.
And Audrey Plaza or whatever, but...
My money's on Adam Driver or Tony Hale for that.
Yeah. I would love...
No. One of the Modern Family people might steal that. Ty Burrell deserves a freaking Emmy. By this point in that show's legacy, he deserves it. Tony Hale, you can get away with it because you're going to give Julia Louis-Dreyfus a freaking Emmy. Tony can wait another year, though his character's funny as hell.
But he is good.
I would love to see Bill Hader. I'd love to see them be ballsy enough to give a show like Saturday Night Live that much respect. Because you know what? It's been around forever, and they haven't got enough nominations.
33 years?
I mean,
they've got a ton of nominations. They just haven't got a lot of wins.
How about Bill Hader? He's been the best thing for, what, last decade?
Yeah. And every time Justin Timberlake hosts.
Genius.
He's nominated for his hosting duties this year, too.
And you wanted to go to the Best Supporting Actor, right?
Well, we can go to... I'm sending lead actress in the drama if you want, since you want to talk more about Kerry Washington.
Well, I look at the rest of the list, and I don't see anyone better than her.
Yeah.
Claire Danes might, just because she's a winner. But Elizabeth Moss...
She apparently was really good this season. Like, you know, she kind of broke out some, so...
Not enough for me.
I did not see Scandal, and I did not see Bates Motel, so...
I saw the first three episodes of Bates, and she was scary.
Okay.
I went on that.
I mean, I like Vera Farmiga. She was in the recent Conjuring, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of like Connie Britton, even though I don't like the show. My girlfriend watches the show every once in a while. Yeah, seen it, and... Connie Britton's a damn fine actress, but is this for... I don't know.
You're just thinking of Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, like seriously, yeah. I'm thinking of other roles when I think of her name. And maybe the same thing with Vera. I'm thinking of other roles with her. And has she captured Norman Bates' mother yet? I don't know. It's one season in. I think Claire's going to the obvious heavy choice or Carrie. And I think Scandal was cool. It had a great ending. And it had a better political story. It was politics as well. And I think they told a better connecting story.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Kerry Washington, she was in Django, right?
Yes, she is the girl that's in the box.
She's Django's wife.
Yeah, in the box.
In the box, okay.
The hot box.
All right, and what about you? You want to do supporting actor?
What, for which one?
Oh, we've got all the supporting actors. We haven't done supporting actress.
Supporting actress in the comedy, is that what you want to do? Or supporting actress in drama?
We can do in drama.
I just want Emilia Clarke to win from Game of Thrones, but...
She's amazing.
She'll probably go to...
I really like Christina Hendricks, though.
Yeah? Well, I'm saying
she's great in that.
But I do not like Anna Gunn.
Anna Gunn, but I don't think she should be on the list.
There's not enough of her. I don't see it either. Yeah. Maggie Smith, she is down to
Maggie
Abby,
Smith
in my
is
opinion.
A...
Well, and then
it's the only reason to watch the damn show.
They love The Good Wife, those Emmys, so it's possible they might give it to Christine Baranski.
She's a good actress, but is the good, like, I mean, we're men. Did we really watch
no,
the show?
No.
Okay, then. What the hell?
We all want the
I love Marina,
like
but
the,
I love your Serenity
Queen of Dragons,
and Barbara.
To win, is what you're saying.
Easily. Like, Queen of Dragons had the coolest, I mean, she's the coolest female character on TV.
Yeah.
She has dragons, for God's sakes. Give her a fucking Emmy. That's how we should end that.
All right.
And so, what do you think of Blossom getting nominated for Best Supporting Actress in a Comedy?
I'm all for Maya Blade.
She's great.
Of course, two Jews would agree on Maya Blade. How shocking we can be.
You know that
but
Maya
like
Blade is so nice.
I like that as your feel-good pick of the year.
Anna Klumsky?
Yes.
Yeah, I've been in
her
love with Anna Klumsky.
Adorable.
I'm so glad she's back.
What a weird year.
Entertainment, finally.
And who's Merritt Weaver? I don't even know.
She's the
Nurse Jackie?
Like her friend. She's good. Nurse Jackie's underrated show.
And you know what? I like Jane Lentz. I like Jane Krzyzewski.
Sophia Vergara is kind of annoying. Like Julie Bowen's deserving. She's a funny woman. But Sophia Vergara.
It's funny, like throughout all these
Lentz, really? Question.
I like Jane Lentz, but it's
this
not...
year did you care?
No.
What the hell? Who watches Glee?
Some people
dead
do.
People. Oh, too soon?
Too soon, dead people. They're going to do
it
after school.
Oh, no!
Take it back.
I'm sorry, Lea Michele.
He was a national
Move
treasure.
On. You can find the next guy.
I met him at the mall tour.
I'm all for
anyway,
Anna
they
Klumsky.
Give Jane just because 30 Rock's not on TV anymore.
I'm all
didn't,
for
didn't
Anna Klumsky.
Didn't she win one year, though? Or has she not won?
I don't know if she's one.
I just think of her as Cousin Becky from the first
Vacation, yeah.
With those eyebrows.
I'm all for Anna Chlumsky, man. My girl to beat, man. That's what
I think it's going to either be Anna Chlumsky or Maya.
Maya might win it.
I think Maya might win it just, you know.
Big Bang Theory. People really love that damn show.
It's the number one show on television.
That's insane. You know what else was the number one TV show on TV? Was the Charlie Sheen show.
Yeah. But you know what else?
Okay, Two and a Half Men is funny.
It's not.
NCIS.
No, it was.
Nobody watches that show, but apparently it's the number one show on television.
Gotti watches it.
What?
Gotti watches Two and a Half Men.
You watch NCIS? No.
No.
I mean, Two and a Half Men are fucking
not even
watch. Why do you watch that show?
It's the neighborhood.
Because of the... It's a cute dynamic. The kid, too.
It's neighborhood.
Crime. You watch that show. So you don't like Man of Steel, but you like Two and a Half Men.
The Half Men is off the show, by the way, if you guys didn't notice. He got fired. He's not going to be on this.
Oh, I haven't watched the show since he got fired. I don't like Ashton
Kutcher.
He's not a real human.
They're bringing in Charlie Sheen's lesbian daughter, the long-lost lesbian daughter, to fill in the half.
I haven't kept up with it. It's not getting nominated. Let's not talk about a show not knowing nominated. No.
Well, John Cryer was nominated last year for it, and he won.
And he was good. John Cryer, a talented actor.
I like John Cryer in Hot
Shots.
But other than that...
Anyone who wears tidy whiteys, you know, nonchalantly on screen is okay in my book.
You know, we're missing one big one.
What?
Outstanding lead actor in a drama.
Okay.
Which I think...
It's tough, but it's going to be...
This is the only reason why I would get House of Cards any merit, is if Kevin Spacey walks up there, it'll be worth it. Now, if he doesn't, I applaud them, but they better not give any other damn Emmy to that show.
Bryan Cranston,
Breaking Bad, Jeff Daniels, Newsroom, and...
Newsroom, most underrated
John
show
Hamm,
on
Mad TV. John
Hamm,
Mad Men, and Kevin Spacey, House of Cards. John Hamm and Mad Men this year, I mean, it was all about the failure of Don Draper, and, I mean, it showed. However, Bryan Cranston pulling his stuff... And Jeff Daniels in the Newsroom as the rapid-fire political
I love
anchor.
Jeff Daniels in Newsroom.
He's so good. And then there's Kevin Spacey in House of Cards. Like, that's a very tough category.
I honestly think they were ballsy enough to give Damian Lewis one last year over Bryan Cranston and Jon Hamm.
But they've both won it before.
But this season...
Jon Hamm
awesome.
For the season arc is the one you would
think
would win.
Think of just this season
in
Breaking Bad, though. It's... The first 8 episodes of the season were
But
awesome.
They're going to give it to him next year.
Well, we know that.
I think
sure.
that's what it is.
I don't think
he wins this year.
Well, yeah, we'll have to wait and see.
Because I do think Hamm...
Kevin Spacey might pull it out, you know, even though you're not going to...
No, that's the only one I think deserving is Kevin Spacey. Not that I got anything against Robin Wright. I just...
Kevin Spacey really was... He's at the top. But it's hard to do it with Brian and Jeff.
You think Bryan Cranston hands down. Who do you think?
Well, it's him or Kevin Spacey. I think Kevin Spacey might have sneaked by.
See, I think the Mad Men push was Hamm this year.
Yeah,
I think this is the most we've seen him change. And I think his character, you know what? He failed. And I like that.
He basically lost his wife.
Yeah.
He lost his job. And he basically lost his kids.
Like, we don't know...
His life is terrible, by the way, though. So
yeah, but we don't know where that character will be next year. We kind of know where Cranston will be. We certainly know where Spacey is.
Do you know that flashback was ridiculous? The flash forward was ridiculous.
But that makes the show worthy of an Emmy, not Bryan Cranston. That's why I don't think it'll be Bryan this year. Bryan deserves it, but next year.
I'm really thinking it's the top three are Kevin Spacey, Jon Hamm, and Jeff Daniels. With Jeff Daniels the third on that list.
Showtime, buddy.
Boom!
No, that's HBO. I'm
Jeff
sorry.
Daniels
that's
HBO.
You work for Showtime, don't you?
Damn right I do. I would love to. They make quality TV. But no, Jeff Daniels, the problem is with that show, the critics didn't like it, fans didn't watch it. It's stuck in a nowhere's land. Like, is it going to survive? It's Sorkin, so I don't know what the hell people are thinking.
It's still good.
The guy's genius. He might be sexist, but he's genius.
Spacey, Hamm, Daniels. That's the order. I
wouldn't be shocked if any of them
sounds like a sandwich.
Yeah, there we go.
Tasty sandwich.
All right, so that's our Emmy coverage.
I hope the building burns down. Actually.
Emmy coverage. We'll update with winners next time. Now, do you want to go to our Comic-Con coverage, or do you want to do our casting?
We had a pretty good discussion about Comic-Con and what they're doing.
You want to do it?
I really want to jump into Comic-Con.
So since Comic-Con is still going on right now in San Diego, we're going to talk about what has been announced, some of the things that have gone on for Comic-Con this year. Some big stuff was announced, some good things. We will start out with the live-action movie that's coming out, World of Warcraft, based on the popular online game. A few years ago, Sam Raimi was attached to direct World of Warcraft, but dropped out. But now they announced the director, who is...
Duncan Jones.
Now, who Duncan Jones direct? What did he direct?
First was Moon.
Moon, which is awesome.
With Sam Rockwell.
Can we talk about who Duncan Jones is?
Yeah. Yeah, go for it.
He is, of course, the son of the David Bowie.
The David fucking Bowie. Yeah. There's only one. So, Moon was flawless. It was Sam Rockwell's, I think, opus, because he just got to be the movie.
And you had Kevin Spacey as the robot.
That's true. And if you think about it, since Duncan Jones is directing a World of Warcraft movie, and he is the son of David Bowie.
Music by David Bowie in the film?
Our friend Wade Davis, who's not on call with us today, did mention that David Bowie did play the ultimate goblin king. Jareth from Labyrinth.
He does like little babies.
Goblins are in World of Warcraft. Just going to put that
out. I don't think Jareth will make a fucking appearance in the film. But if his dad did happen to end up on the soundtrack, it would not shock me.
It would be amazing.
I don't know how close they are. I know, like, other family fathers and sons, like, the Irons are not close.
The Reitmans?
The Reitmans are...
They're close.
Pretty close. Yeah, I don't... Ivan's, like, pissed in. But, I mean, certain father sons are not cool, so...
Yeah.
I don't know. Duncan's not been real vocal.
So Duncan Jones directed Moon with Sam Rockwell and Source Code with Jake Gyllenhaal.
And yeah, he's been building, basically. Moon was in a smaller, more intimate film than Source Code. Showed he can handle, you know, action, like fast-paced action sequences. So now he's getting to work with it's going to be a huge budget.
A big cast.
But both these movies, as well as World of Warcraft, are all in the sci-fi genre.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. His theme is out of this world.
Well, his next movie was supposed to be a film called Mute, which was supposed to be like set in like a futuristic world like Blade Runner, but that got put on the back burner. So he's actually turning it into a graphic novel, which he'll be releasing sometime either later this year or early next year.
He's obviously a writer too. Yeah. That's the helpful thing. He'll help
so
with
we'll
the
see. Hopefully the graphic novel will get it more interest to actually get funding for that film, because I want to see that as well.
Well, WWC has enough people that love it anyway. It doesn't need any more.
WWC?
World of Warcraft.
Do you say the of? It is W-O-W-C.
It's not World of War 2.
R-R-P-G.
It's where I learned the term Rafflecopter was from World of Warcraft.
Well, he'll be working on that.
There you go, buddy.
That's going to take a lot of his time up, so we'll see.
It will. And will he do
No,
well
they announced
after?
It for, what, 2015?
15,
yeah. Which is still tentatively.
Yeah.
They got nothing for this film.
They showed the little teaser.
That was like basically the computer.
Yeah, okay.
There's nothing on it. Like
the sky was green is what they showed.
Yeah, they could have just shown clips from the game and it would have been more.
Now, I'm excited for it. I'm glad they're doing it. I think that
it's
potentially
a
big box
it's
office.
It's a bold
draw.
Choice to go from Sam Raimi to this.
Yeah.
And another negative, but it's bold.
But it seems like Raimi chose Oz and the Evil Dead stuff over World of Warcraft.
Which I'm not against his thought process, but Duncan Jones has a better material.
I agree. I think he's...
I like Oz, but it's not going to be like this.
And this is his biggest budget one.
Easily.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this might blow him out the water. It's big, big.
Do you think this will be like 200 million?
It's going to... At least 100 on it.
At least 100.
Not two. Two... You know what two is?
R.I.P.
Two is creating cameras for fucking Batman.
Lone Ranger was 2.5
Well, Gore Verbinski likes big fucking ships and trains.
Like
that's
that, those two train sandwiches alone cost like $25 million each.
Which is all Gore being an idiot, but whatever.
So World of
I enjoyed
War-
it. When
so
it was
are hard. You excited for World of Warcraft?
Yes.
Who would you cast as the big soldier?
I don't really know characters, but...
Yeah, it's hard to say characters because where are they going to go with this?
Yeah.
There's a lot of characters.
There's so many facets to the world.
Are those first image characters that you have in the beginning of World of Warcraft going to be main characters or just side characters? Like, are we going to have a new character as your lead character?
That's true.
I think that's where they'll go with these characters stepping in, you know, so the fans are like, oh, yay! And you have the epic scene, but I think the main character is going to be completely new.
A new character, yeah.
Okay, and do you think it'll go the way of John Carter did?
No, because it won't be as stylistic. It'll be much more the actual elements of the world, like it being a throwback. Like, I mean, we didn't Lord of the Rings worked, all those Game of Thrones worked. Yeah. This'll work. It's the same theme.
Fantasy is hot right now.
Yeah, fantasy works. No one doesn't like fantasy. John Carter wasn't fantasy because it was like Star Wars almost.
The Western is basically dead, but fantasy is hot right now.
Fantasy is
the new hotness.
Don't you
dare say the Western's done.
It's the new
Clint goes away.
I know, but
Clint hasn't made a Western.
He killed the Western
for the box
office. On purpose.
Was Unforgiven.
Yeah, on purpose.
He needs to come back to it.
He will. He's making his weird
shit.
He's
105 years old.
He's got plenty of time.
His pants are too. All right, so another thing that was mentioned at Comic-Con this...
Bill Hader.
Sorry. Yes, Clint Eastwood is one of the best.
He is the best Clint Eastwood.
Pizza.
Anyways, that's Emmy talk. Let's get back.
All right, so another thing they discussed at Comic-Con this year, or had a panel, was the X-Files. With Chris Carter, David Duchovny, and Gillian Anderson.
It's the first time the three of them have been together in forever.
What has Chris Carter been doing for the last, like, 15
years? It's interesting. He was at Austin Film Festival last year. So was Lindelof. Damon Lindelof.
I like him.
And Lindelof, his first question, or it's one after he was like, I love you type commentary, his first question was like, what have you been doing? And I totally agree. Chris Carter went off the map when X-Files stopped. He had projects. He had big studio projects. Nothing ever came through.
What happened to that Lone Gunman movie?
That got scratched. Yeah. It would have been genius. I think people were so defeated because they didn't get to see that love interest come together that they wrote him off.
Chris Carter, X-Files, Millennium, and it looks like the
Millennium
next...
was good, but it was so... Wasn't that a Spielberg somehow got his name
Lance
in?
Henderson.
Someone big had their name in there, too. And it stole a lot of the spotlight from it being a Chris Carter story.
I don't know.
Maybe. I knew I was wrong. Maybe there was a show that was competing with them. Stole. You know, because Spielberg had that other alien fucking show.
Falling Skies?
Whatever.
I like that show.
Not that. It's newer. Like, Millennium was a while ago.
Yeah.
But I like Chris Carter. I'm glad that they did a 20th. I hope they do a movie or a miniseries would be better. But
they did
Anderson,
a movie. They
yeah,
did
both
two or three movies.
They need another one. If Star Trek can make
do
six.
Do you remember the first movie, the very first scene, the first X-Files movie, was it took place in Dallas in a snowstorm?
That's right.
It said Dallas, Texas. I remember seeing it at the theater. And it was a snowstorm blizzard. It said Dallas, Texas. Everybody in the theater cracked up. It's like heat of summer. It's like what?
It's cool to see them get love. I hope they do more projects.
I do too. I mean, X-Files, I think, went on a few seasons too long. But I think nowadays they really do like we're doing only 5 seasons.
Yeah.
And we're going to do it. I think that's better.
If you could have capped it. It would have been better because he would have had something to round it out with.
And both of them, like the actors, like David Duchovny has...
He's kept very busy.
Well, he's got
literally,
a hit Showtime show, right?
Yeah.
He fucks a lot.
That's your Showtime show.
It's a great show.
It's an underrated show,
yeah.
For sure.
And then Jillian, you know, she was gone for a while, but now she was in Hannibal this season. And also
she went to Britain.
She had a great show called The Fall,
yeah.
Which is actually on Netflix, and it was like shot in Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
And I would definitely recommend that.
No one's ever heard of it, but it's quality.
Right. It's a Netflix...
original.
Yeah. Not an original. But yes.
It's definitely something to keep an eye on. And with them both being in it, it's not hard to believe that they'll turn this into something.
And X-Files have never been released on Blu-ray, have they?
No. There's never been an epic X-Files release.
There's only been in seasons.
Yeah.
No.
At least they might have done like old school DVD. Packs.
You hear us, Chris Carter? Get to work on a Blu-ray collection of
all commentary.
Maybe that's
do
what
it.
Maybe that's what he's been doing for the last 15 years.
That's fine.
There's so many episodes.
Be awesome.
Director's cut. That would
be awesome.
All right. They also talked at Comic-Con this year. Fox had a few panels, and it seems like The Simpsons, which is in their, 50th season now?
They're the longest-running show ever, literally.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
It beat out Gunsmoke, finally.
That's right.
That is amazing.
amazing. It's a credit to a guy that is hard work.
That everybody still loves.
The only thing
Simpsons.
That has more episodes are all the daytime soap operas.
Or 60 Minutes.
And
maybe.
They're not that far off yeah. catching those.
Yeah,
buttons.
You're right. So Simpsons not is right, going right. to have a crossover episode with Futurama and Family Guy.
I'm all for Futurama because I think the look works.
Right.
Family Guy, Seth is a pussy. Let's go ahead and say it.
You know, like
you
Seth?
Talk so much shit about Simpsons over the years, and there have been so many fights.
Who?
Them two. Family Guy and Simpsons.
He wrote
I
thought, Simpsons also.
I thought yeah, everybody...
They got me.
They've all become lovey-dovey. I liked it when there were two separate
I games. Thought everybody talked
everyone
shit on Family
the
Guy.
Same show, but, you know.
I thought everybody talked shit on Family Guy. Family Guy didn't talk shit on anybody else.
Maybe true. I don't want to throw Seth because it's
I think
you're
Family Guy's I think you're referring to South Park where they said the writers of Family Guy were manatees.
Maybe that's what it was.
No, but I think
so many damn.
But I do hear that the Simpsons Family Guy crossover will feature the Griffin family from Family Guy heading to Springfield.
So are they going to look like the Griffins, or they
it,
look like
it doesn't matter. But
aren't
I think
they already
cool.
the Simpsons? Like
but I don't. I mean, I think it would be cool to see Peter Griffin's character in the bar with Mo and Barney and Homer and Lenny. And Carl. I think that would be awesome.
Do you go for the sensibilities of The Simpsons or do you go for the sensibilities of Family Guy? Because if you're for The Simpsons, can you say as much as you can on Family Guy?
They and will. Absolutely.
Then
it's Fox.
Are you really doing Simpsons or are you kind of making fun of Simpsons?
I mean,
because as a Simpsons fan, I'm saying you don't effing need it. And if I'm a Family Guy, I'm saying you don't effing need it. Futurama... Yes, you need it because not enough people know about Futurama.
But I almost think
that's
the
why
episode
you do.
Needs to be an hour long because there's just so much. Like, I'd like to see Mayor Adam West and Mayor Quimby.
I would definitely like to see the whole town.
But I think it's just the main family. I don't think a lot of the
yeah,
I
don't think but no, yeah,
the characters.
But like Marge and Lois or Lisa and Meg and Bart and Chris. Like Bart, they're totally two different characters. But
yeah, but they're going for that when the two families meet moment, and that's what they're going to go for. And I don't like it. I think it's overrated.
So you think it'll work better in Futurama?
Yeah, because Futurama isn't a show that enough people know about, and it's so quirky with their family. Looking at either one of those families, it could work. It works better with Simpsons because of the drawing. I think it'll look better. Family Guy looks a little different as a joke by his drawing. Like, that was sort of the bit. And I don't see them fitting well. I think it'll be epic. Everyone will watch it. And I'll watch. I'll laugh.
But what about American Dad?
Nobody watches American Dad.
I like it better than Family Guy now, actually. Right
Family
now.
Guy's gone over the top, yeah. But it's always done that. It'll be reined in. But that's I'm a little curious about that. Are they going to use as much foul jokes as they would in a Family Guy episode? If they don't, then they're...
Well, Family Guy
why,
built
why are they there?
Cast
they
references.
Cutaways.
Yeah, like, are they going to do movies. Cutaways or not? Because... That's a legit question.
Well,
is it a Family Guy? I want to fucking see
it. Is it going to be a Simpsons episode or is it going to be a Family Guy episode?
And if you go either way, you ruin the whole aspect of it having both. And it's hard to think you can do both together unless you have an hour. Because then you
well,
can
they might have an hour. It doesn't justify or say how much time the episode
That's true. Be. I like just having them separate. I like the two camps.
And it's
I like South Park being separate. South Park being separate too.
Yeah.
It's a whole different fucking world.
But I'm trying to figure out how Simpsons... And Simpson Family Guy seems more the logical choice. Simpson and Futurama, because Futurama takes place so far in the future.
Well, they
that's why it's a joke. That's why it makes
justify works. It with you know them going back in the time machine. You know, it's
easy. It makes more sense if Futurama because they won't know the Simpsons. It feels like if you put Simpson and Family Guy. It's a, like there's so slight differences between. That's funny. That's not funny to me. I don't know.
Cool.
It's an interesting project. It's a bold project. I kind of like having two camps. I think one's PG and one's R, and I don't want to see them together because then you got PG-13 gayness. I really think that. You're either going to dumb down Family Guy, which is stupid, or you're going to make Simpsons raunchy, and that's stupid.
So you just have to wait and see.
Either way, jerk off on all of them, but whatever.
That's your answer to everything.
It's the internet. It's
the internet.
Is that what that box of tissue next to you is for?
That's what the Robin cup's for later, buddy. Fill her on up.
Next.
I've never seen a 5-gallon jug of lotion before.
That's we're in Brian's house. Don't show it to me.
So the fourth thing on the list is the new X-Men movie.
Yeah.
What do you have to think about that, Adam?
Where is Matthew Vaughn? What
he's,
the F?
He's producing.
Why? Dick, direct.
I don't know
who's
why.
Who's directing it?
Oh, Brian Singer.
Oh,
Brian Singer has
fuck.
Brian Singer directed the first two X-Men movies, and plus the first X-Men movie was the first really big comic book movie to come out.
True.
Too.
And it's good.
And also, Brian Singer directed the
Usual
Suspects.
One of the greatest films of all time.
But then he directed Superman Returns.
Which is one of the worst films of all time. Even though Kevin Spacey's quality.
But do you all think he should return to the X-Men?
No, because Matthew Vaughn's was such a dynamic twist to the story. It gave us Magneto. It's the first time we've seen a legit Magneto. No offense to old Magneto. This Magneto was fucking awesome.
What was wrong with McKellen?
We didn't know. Okay, in the beginning, Bryan Singer's, we get the Holocaust story very well, but it's short. It's 15 minutes. You get out of it, and you get into the X-Men world.
Yeah.
The Matthew Vaughn story is that Holocaust story affecting the entire film, and it keeps with the decades. It goes into the Russian battle. It keeps the history of the comics, which no one's ever touched upon. Like Wolverine's character, there's a reason why I will hate watching Wolverine, even though it looks somewhat cool by the trailer, I will probably hate this film because the legacy of a Wolverine character is the longevity of his history in the comics and what he's gone through.
Well, he's been through the wars.
You did it with Captain America. You need to do it properly with Wolverine. The only one that's had the guts to do something, he hadn't touched Wolverine, was Matthew Vaughn showing Magneto and Xavier.
And he told them to go fuck themselves.
And all that meant to me was the next movie's Wolverine with Matthew Vaughn directing. I'm in on that. It didn't happen. Instead, we're getting Bryan Singer coming in. And you know what we're getting? We're getting the same shit that we had with Superman. A decent enough director doing work that should be done by the guy producing.
It'll be better than Brett Ratner's X-Men 3.
Brett Ratner is not a director, never should have been, and his film is not in the lexicon as far as I'm concerned. It's shit.
Agreed.
And the original Wolverine was vomitable.
Yeah, the first Wolverine movie was really
I don't know why Hugh Jackman signed
off. That's why
off.
Like they have this time-traveling element. They're hopefully going to erase
But
those.
The big news is...
Hopefully.
Because
that
is,
was shit.
Omar Sy.
Yes.
Omar Sy, he's great.
Omar Sy is an actor who was in The Untouchables, which was an amazing movie, and he's being cast as...
Bishop, the time-traveling mutant from the future.
Which is the most dynamic character addition they've had, because, like, Colossus didn't fucking count.
And they showed an image of him, right?
He looked
badass.
Bishop's an awesome character in the comics.
I agree.
And Peter Dinklage is playing the bad guy in the film.
Yeah, that's right.
And another potential secondary character they're not talking about. Bishop's character sometimes floated with a fella named Gambit.
Bishop also did with Cable,
right?
Gambit's
not going to be in this movie. I know.
Bishop and Cable
were also good,
Cable,
too.
Cable was the son of Cyclops and Jean Grey, who are both technically dead now. So we'll see how they're going to solve that problem.
That's maybe why Bishop's being brought in.
Yeah.
The time travel element to bring back
Gambit. They also have what they're not saying is another mutant that does Nightcrawler type like teleportation is Blink.
Mm. Oh,
And it's going to be a popular Asian actress called
Can we talk about Storm's reintroduction, though? Are we a bit...
Storm? Did anybody like Holly Berry's Storm?
Why?
Ever?
Well, he's bringing back all his character. You know,
Storm.
Like,
we're getting Cyclops.
Why?
Cyclops is coming back.
Why?
In X-Men 1 and 2, Storm only got punched and kicked and thrown through a window. She did nothing.
And we'll get to see Iceman finally as Iceman. Iceman at the end of part 3 when he was fighting Pyro.
I don't know why Bryan Singer's on this film. Why doesn't he go do a real film? Because he's a good director.
Yeah. I agree. I don't understand why he came back.
Usual Suspects was so great.
I'm excited
to make a good script.
In the history of film, has anybody come back?
Francis Ford Coppola has not come back. The question of come back now.
Yeah, like, have they directed a movie, then they've come back to do another one?
It's hard to think of anyone that has. Most people switch to a different
Ridley Scott, maybe?
Fast and the Furious?
Alien to Prometheus? Ridley Scott.
Who those directors are?
Ridley Scott to Alien to Prometheus. Is that right?
It's very close.
Yeah.
Though he will contest that is not the connecting point. Like he's pissed about how people have perceived it.
I just find it weird that he'd come back.
I mean, Cameron did with
Peter Jackson did.
Yeah, I mean they all
with The Hobbit.
The Hobbit.
But he directed all of them. No, not another director didn't.
Oh.
But he was supposed to be Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah, I don't know anyone that's done that.
But besides Ridley Scott.
Yeah, and Singer now.
and singer. And I find it odd that why would he come
back? Why would you want another crack at the puzzle you didn't fucking crack anyway?
Well,
like, no offense to Bryan Singer, but he didn't crack X-Men. Do a real story, because you're a good director. There's no doubt about that.
Well, I'm excited to see the Sentinels on screen, see what those guys finally look like.
So, I'd rather see Thanos, if I'm going to throw that out there.
That's different.
It looks cooler.
Well, yeah. Supposedly, getting away from X-Men, Joss Whedon was on the panel today, and he talked about Avengers 2, which he revealed the new big villain for Avengers 2, which is not going to be Thanos, but who is it going to be?
It's going to be Ultron. It is Avengers 2, The Age of Ultron.
Yep.
Which I like, but still, if they're using him, there's things they have to set up.
Who is Ultron?
Ultron was this robot created by Dr. Hank Pym, otherwise known as Ant-Man, who they haven't introduced yet. So that's
Edgar Wright, who is going to be new Ant-Man. But however, this robot is very similar, I think, to the Thor villain with
adamantium,
like the robot
metal. Like the same metal as Wolverine.
He looks similar.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a similar character.
It's not a similar character, but it's.
But he also is the person who created Vision, who eventually becomes an Avenger. And there's been lots of talk about Vin Diesel possibly being Vision.
Vin Diesel, was that coming?
He looks like a Vision.
Yeah.
We'll see what they actually announce. He made it really cryptic. He said he had tunnel vision after his meeting with Marvel. But they didn't announce it at Comic-Con, which many people thought they were. So,
but they did announce
The big issue is Ant-Man.
Yes.
And that's the issue, because Whedon's not directing. It is Edgar Wright. Edgar Wright's been hard fast 2015.
Yeah.
Avengers will come out before, and that fucks up the whole Ultron story. How do you create something without the creator? And then you create the creator in the next movie.
We have Thor, we have Captain America, and we have another Hulk, right?
Correct.
And then we also have Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, which they're introducing as well.
And then we have Guardians of the Galaxy. So
correct.
In those four movies, before Avengers 2, there could be an Ant-Man.
Right.
There will be an Ant-Man.
I'm thinking,
there has to be.
But Ant-Man's coming out after Avengers 2, right?
My feeling is...
Which is an issue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're going to do is basically introduce Dr. Hank Pym, because originally they had him like trying to figure out the Ant-Man, you know, shrinking down, because he was Giant Man first. Because he would shrink up, and then he created the helmet to control the ants, which is one of the lamest powers, I think. But if it works, it works.
Edgar Wright, I'm giving
him
the credit.
But then we also need the Wasp, you know, who's his wife at some point. So, you know, there's certain things that need to happen.
I don't think we'll see the Wasp until Edgar Wright's
right.
But I do think we'll see Pym before, and it'll be Captain America, in my opinion.
Like, a lot of people are mad that they didn't, you know, talk about Doctor Strange or Black Panther or make any actually big announcements.
Doctor Strange is big in the whole group.
I'm curious.
He's Phase 3's Iron Man, is what they're trying to say. So
I was curious about Black Panther, because I think in Iron Man 2, on his computer screen, they showed
his
city. Africa, where he was.
Wakanda, or I guess whatever.
Is that not for the TV show?
See, that's
for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I
think that's the show.
They actually might introduce Hank Pym on the TV show this
season. That's true.
So they're going to be
another
different characters on
there. There's open ways they can figure out. The question is how they're going to do it, and are they going to do enough of it to make the film worthy? Because if the theory is all of this is leading up to Avengers 3, right?
Yeah.
That's all this
which
is.
Which would be famous.
Which makes, easily, which means you're going to have to introduce him before then because of his character run. Which, is this going to be a throwaway film? And if it is, boy, it's shitty to make Joss Whedon have a fucking throwaway when he made $1 billion.
Correct.
Like, if it's a throwaway and you're just adding characters, they better have some motherfucker die. Is that
Joss Whedon kills his actors and characters.
And that's why I'm excited. Because the other
bless you.
Comic folks are not known to kill their people. And we'll get to that discussion in a fucking minute. And I don't mean to cuss, but Whedon will kill a character, and I expect someone to die in Avengers 2.
But we have he killed Agent Coulson, but
Iron Man
originally came back.
They can't kill Robert Downey Jr. The comics kill characters, but they always bring him back.
Well, then it'll be a lower name character,
Hawkeye.
I mean, honestly, Jeremy Renner shouldn't be on screen. Get rid of him, fine. There should be someone a little bit bigger. I don't know who. I would like to see Iron Man, because I'd like to see them not have a film
said, they are
with Robert Downey.
Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver in this movie, too. they're going to be kind of villains to start out with, but then they join the team. And they can't say that they're, because in the comic book world, they are Magneto's kids. They can't say they're related at all to Magneto. But they did announce who Quicksilver will be. It's going to be Aaron Johnson, who's a great actor.
Best John Lennon we've seen, too.
But they still haven't announced who Scarlet Witch is going to be. So we'll see. Hopefully it's someone.
And that could be real exciting news. That could be a big-time actress.
So
I'm cool with that.
These two movies, you know, Days of Future Past has Quicksilver being played by Evan Peters from American Horror Story. And then you have Aaron Johnson. I prefer Aaron Johnson.
I like Aaron Johnson.
He's a good cast.
But the same thing is they're also having Quicksilver in the 70s for Days of Future Past. And like, how can he be Magneto's son with it when Magneto's only like 30-something and he's already a 20-something?
So what movie would Ant-Man fit in before Avengers 2?
Captain America is my most logical choice, but I don't think they're going to use him in it.
I mean, Thor is possible, somewhat, but Captain America makes more sense. They need something.
Not Hulk?
Well, Hulk's not... They're making a Hulk.
I don't know if they're doing Hulk.
I thought they were doing Hulk.
No, not till way after...
I think Hulk's the one they get... Yeah, to push the third Avengers.
Okay.
Like, after Ant-Man.
Okay.
16, 17?
Yeah.
Let's say Avengers 3 comes out in 2020.
They're actually trying to get it in 2017, they said now. So.
And 2017 is the Star Wars stuff, right?
No, 2015.
2015, okay.
2015 is going to be a ridiculous year for movies.
Yeah. And not necessarily a good one either. That's the sad thing about it. Some of these could fail.
Well, right. Like this summer.
Yeah.
Big things have failed.
Big money has failed.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. We brought up Lone Ranger. Talk about an epic fail.
That's a $250 million fuck up that made $40 million.
Okay. Tom Cruise, even though we don't speak about him after this. Johnny Depp and Will Smith, three of the heavy hitters for the last 20 years, the three big money makers, especially Will Smith, have all lost money.
Yeah, but...
But then you have Brad Pitt, who everyone thought his movie was going to bomb, and it ended up being...
He's never made money. Brad Pitt never made money. Now he's making money. That's fine. These fuckers have made money, and they failed. Will Smith hit it
hard.
Did
Oblivion fail?
Not to the extent...
As After Earth, or...
But he's still living off the third, whatchamacallit money, the ghost one.
Fourth.
The fourth, God, they made a fourth one. God, Tom Cruise, I hate it.
There's a fifth Mission Impossible.
Mission Impossible, yeah.
Because they made so much money on the fourth.
2015.
Oh, vomit. I hope Jeff Nichols makes a movie that year, because he might be the only thing to save.
And Jeff Nichols is making a sci-fi film next.
Good. We'll get a real director instead of the goddamn Mission people. The train sounds better than Mission.
that is the third train.
That is a train. It's still coming. Train. All right, so the last Comic-Con announcement, which is probably the biggest announcement, which is a sore subject with this table, this panel.
Well, just one person on. Y'all like it?
I'm for it, but the big news was Warner Brothers announced that they were doing Man of Steel 2. Not only that, the sequel to Superman, they are going to have Batman in Man of Steel. And he's going to be a big part.
Very true.
And they also announced a Flash movie as well as the Justice League movie. But the big thing is the Batman-Superman movie. And we hear, when they were talking about it, what Batman story would be involved. Batman-Superman story. It was either going to be World's Finest, Superman-Batman, or Frank Miller's Dark Knight Returns. It's going to be Dark Knight Returns, right?
Well, they say that's... kind of the source, but not necessarily the actual
the
story.
The actual story, yeah.
So they, I don't know if it means that they're going to have like an older Batman fighting with Superman, but there's many things that they still have to go into talks about. For one, Lex Luthor, he needs to be introduced.
Well, let's get to it. Man of Steel,
which they didn't even mention at all in the first movie.
And it's huge.
Well, the basic thing is, Superman sequel, does Batman need to be in it?
No.
How far?
No.
What is the distance between Metropolis and Gotham?
Technically nothing, because it's the same damn
city. We did see a Wayne Enterprises
satellite.
We did. We also saw two Lex Luthor fucking connections, and we haven't even been introduced to his ass. We need a Lex Luthor that's going to be as dynamic as whoever bullshit they get as Batman.
So after they get the fight between the two of them out of the way, what villain, you know, Lex Luthor would be a great villain, but they have
Brainiac.
Luthor doesn't die, obviously. Yeah. He has to be in Superman 3. So he'll have someone with him. The question is, does a Brainiac come into existence with a Lex Luthor?
I mean, when you look at Dark Knight Returns, since it's not the they're not in the story, but Joker plays a big part in Dark Knight Returns.
How do you recast a Joker with that type of performance?
Exactly, exactly.
So if that's true, then they're restarting Batman, correct?
Warner Brothers has said they were going to reboot Batman.
I mean, Bale, if he's cast, will he even do it? There's no way.
He said, Christian Bale said on many occasions that he does not want to do Batman again, but that's neither here nor
there. The only way I would see that happening is if Nolan directed and not the fella Zack Snyder. No offense to Zack, he doesn't need this. He doesn't have the clout to bring in that big of a movie. Whereas Christopher Nolan would. Even though I hated that third film, Christopher Nolan knows what he's doing when he's making a $200 million film.
But the studio, when you make $600 million so far for him,
you
they're
make the producer.
Give you the keys to the castle.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
And the reason why I didn't like Superman was because he didn't have the keys to the castle. He had to give the keys to two younger guys who didn't know what they were doing. And I think this will happen again with this film. I'm not saying the whole series will fail. I do think a Superman 3 could be great if it's done with the correct Lex Luthor. I dislike the fact they're going Batman, but they are looking at Justice League.
Right,
and Justice League would be pimp. And since you have the Avengers...
Because they want that Avengers money. That's
they want that Avengers money. Justice League would be the only thing to make me go sit in a seat and say, I could do that.
But it's not the...
Not a Superman, as Batman.
Long,
if Batman's not Bale... And Superman is not fully fleshed out.
Well, I'm trying
out.
To think. If Bale says
no
to it...
what you're hoping for.
If Bale says no to it, and Joseph Gordon-Levitt does not accept the role, I mean, who could possibly take the role of Batman?
They didn't know who was going to play Superman. They found some random guy.
They can bring
a random guy.
They can bring Henry Cavill back, because he was supposed to be Batman in the original Justice League movie.
It's true. Ugh. I mean, there's a quandary if you don't have... Bale or Levitt. And I don't like Levitt in that role because he's Robin to me. And yes, I know Robin becomes Batman in a few of the stories. It doesn't play well, in my opinion. It doesn't end the Nolan trilogy correctly, and it certainly doesn't make me think that a duo is going to be great. I think it'll fail.
I think Logan Green from Prometheus might be a good Batman.
I think an Aaron Johnson would make a damn good Batman,
yeah.
too. But that's not going to happen. I mean, let's face it. DC has not got on the punch as quick as Marvel. And it is going to cost them money. And it's going to cost them ability to get actors. It's going to cost them writers for good stories. Even though you do have the greatness of Frank Miller, let's be honest. Is he enough to carry a film? He wasn't for Sin City, sadly. Which, whether you hate Robert Rodriguez, you know, like, you either hate him or you love him, that should have been awesome. And it necessarily wasn't. Because it lost a lot of his style on the screen. Because when you read Frank Miller, you are immersed in that world. I've not seen a Frank Miller film where I've gone, like, that's Frank Miller on fucking big screen. This bullshit will not be it.
The spirit.
I'm excited for the potential.
That
it just
it's the same Alan Moore quandary. You can't replicate that on the big screen and it not come across.
In my life, and The Spirit was one of them.
And it's sad because The Spirit's a great story.
Yeah,
and that's what I'm talking about. If you have that great writer and you've got a shitty director, now Nolan is an interesting person because yes, he can bring that if he's not a producer. But how do you get? How would he do that? Why would he do that? He's going to have his own movie, Interstellar. He's not going to want to do this. And that makes me think Zack Snyder with Frank again. I don't want to see it. I'm bored with it. I'm defeated. I just hate it.
With Man of Steel, if it's any shred of Man of Steel, it's going to be decent.
It's decent for Superman and Batman, sad. Like, this is Superman and Batman, and you know what? Thor's more kick-ass than them. I'm going to say
I think
Marvel's done a better job with creating their characters. I think Iron Man is the best fun character we've ever had as that type of character. And Justice League, none of those characters are ever going to replicate a Robert Downey Jr.'s talent.
I agree. Not yet. They might find somebody for Flash. You know, I think at one point it was Nathan Fillion was vying for the role.
Is Nathan Fillion? I love Nathan,
but he's sadly too big, too fat, and he's old now. He's old. Well, not old. He's older.
He's going against his boy Whedon, the best writer he's ever had.
Yes, I agree.
I wouldn't do it if I was Fillion. Like, I wouldn't try and piss off. I'm sure he wouldn't piss him off, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
I'd rather just see if I can get in Marvel's movie.
Well, yeah, well, you know, because Marvel's introducing these Quicksilvers, which is basically the same character as Flash, so...
It's interesting that all these are happening together. 2015 is going to be epic year. It's setting up the three studios, the three comics, the three universes all together. And Marvel, I'm sorry, they've been kicking ass.
They have.
They're better than the other two, and they know it. The only advantages the other two have are directors that are really good in Matthew Vaughn and Christopher Nolan, and they're not going to do anything. So you don't have anything to go with.
Yeah, but you had John Favreau, you had Joss Whedon, you had the Thor director, Kenneth Branagh. Decent directors.
Yeah, some Marvel quality directors. The other two don't have the directors on the same level.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, X-Men, Bryan Singer compared to... Well, Favreau wasn't as good, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, Thor was... That's a legitimate director.
Yeah, I agree.
That's Shakespeare at its finest, buddy.
So, in your words, Batman, Superman, are you looking forward to it? Fail? What about you?
I'll see it.
Yeah, I'm excited for it.
I'll see it, but I'm going to dislike it every moment.
Every moment. I'm going to hold you to that. Well, with that, that is our first podcast. We will be back next time. We are going to talk about a Police Academy remake that's in the works. And we are going to do our dream casting for each role. Right.
And this is going to hopefully be a theme where we get to do more films like this.
Yeah,
this is
Dreamcast. But yeah, Police Academy. And then we have made an NCAA bracket, but with directors.
Greatest directors.
Greatest directors of all time. And we split them into four categories. Bean.
The first one's the best one.
It's the death one.
Woo!
Also, it means all directors that are dead are going to be competing in one region. The other region is the genre region, which is sci-fi, horror, and comedy.
Yeah, those are the three. We're not going outside of those three genres.
Correct. And then the third region is modern filmmakers that are alive today. And the fourth region being foreign filmmakers.
All those.
And so we're going to, over the course of the next several podcasts, we're going to dwindle those down. And we would love your input on those. But until next time, we've had a lot of fun.
Yeah. We'll have a big section on the August indie releases.
Yes.
A good tie-in, since we've got Angelica Man here, we know it's coming, and we're pretty excited.
Maybe talk about some upcoming TV pilots or something.
That's true.
Yeah, for pilot season.
It's fall season coming up,
yep.
And we'll jump into the autumn fun times.
Well, sounds good. We'll see you next time.
Nipples.
Multimedia Men!